Hey, before we start, we were hoping you could take a few seconds to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It means a lot to us that so many of you are listening, and we hope you can continue to support us by leaving us a little bit of feedback. Cheers. Welcome to Liquid Chords. Today's guest is Dublin-based hip-hop artist Nilo. Fresh from releasing his debut album, All the Leaves Are Falling, he speaks to us about the transition from punk to hip-hop and the similarities in their ethos. He tells us about the influence of his son on his music and his previous life studying law. Fascinating guy with a unique story.
Liquid Chords. Talk about the music in your life.
Liquid Chords.
Hi, I'm here with Nilo. How are you getting on, man?
Good. How are you, man? You alright?
Yeah, delighted to have you. You've had a bit of a horrendous week. You were struck down with the old co.
I was, yeah. I got the Rona. Yeah, I've had a bit of a mad few weeks, months, and maybe even a year. But yeah, just keep the head up and get through it. That's all you can do, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad you're all right. I first heard of you after speaking with Uli. He was the first ever guest on Liquid Chords.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, he was very... Yeah, we were delighted to have him. Lovely guy, and he was very complimentary of you. And we've been enjoying your stuff ever since. But I did a bit of reading on you beforehand, and you've had quite the journey to get to this point. Like, it's been, I mean, from being in different countries to playing a totally different genre of music. So would you like to kind of just tell us about early interest in music and give us a brief tour, I guess, of that time period to now and how you've kind of ended up here?
Yeah, no problem at all. I suppose I started with music when I was, you know, a teenager, getting into like just heavy music like Metallica and Blink-182, not too heavy, but like, you know, just stuff that was going on MTV2 and shit at the time. And then starting a band with my friends that were in my estate, you know, like everybody does when they're young, and half of you can't play instruments even. I think I just picked up the bass. Because literally that was the one instrument that you picked up. If you couldn't play, you were learning that one. Because yeah. I mean? There was always a guitarist or there was always a singer. But, you know, you get a bass player, he just fucking throws fingers on the top string and see what happens. Like, you know,
one finger will do. It's fine.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Or even a fleck. So I started that way. And then I suppose just progressively got more and more into music. Like, music is funny with me. It's something that just keeps coming back in my life. In bigger ways. Like, sometimes I think it's finished with me, and then it just comes back in a bigger way, and my love for it is just, it just never stops, you know. Like, and it's at its height right now. Like, I thought probably 10 years ago I was really embedded in hardcore punk in that scene and doing a lot of touring and stuff with that band Frustration, and I thought, like, Jesus, I'd never be more into music than I am now. But like, here I am, like, at 35 years old, and I'm even more embedded into it now and even more in love with it every day, you know, just finding new artists and all that. I think I went off the point there because you were talking about my journey, but
no.
I suppose it started off with those childhood kind of neighborhood bands, and then kind of went on to more going into town, starting bands in Dublin City, playing pop punk music. And then going on finding hardcore punk through that. And then that was really the genre that I got absolutely bet into. And that's the kind of genre, I don't know if you are too familiar with it, but it's like, it's very insular. It's very, when you're in it, there's a lot of politics in it. There's a lot of social issues, like social liberation movements and stuff like that. And the touring is amazing because it's really easy to book tours, because there's a hardcore scene in every city. You just reach out to them, they say, yeah, we'll put you on this night. So we were able to do, like, you know, 10 or 11 maybe English tours, European tours, American tours. So it was just great in that way, you know.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned you feel like there's a similar ethos between that scene and the hip-hop scene.
I do, yeah. There's definitely a lot of similarities with the social issues, especially now, and in Ireland, it seems to be a case of where people in the Irish hip hop scene are really taking on social issues and being at the forefront of that, which is really cool. It's also difficult at times because, like, you just don't know who's real and who's not, I suppose, like with everything. But It's good to be. It's good that the Irish hip hop scene is a mouthpiece for movements like that, because I suppose it has to be. And I do feel as a white rap artist as well that I have a responsibility in some way to kind of speak up on stuff like Black Lives Matter and not to just fucking take advantage of this music that I love so much and use their vernacular and use the sounds and then just not stand up for them when the time needs to, you know, come to do that, I suppose.
Yeah. And how was that adjustment? How did you find hip hop from the hardcore? Like how did you make that transition? Or was hip hop always something you were interested in?
Yeah, it was always like my first two CDs. I remember going to HMV in Blanchardstown. My first two CDs were Offspring and Tupac, I think. They were like the first two. So it was like...
So 90s.
Yeah, so 90s, yeah. And that was the start of it. So like that kind of stayed with me my whole life, like that love of hip hop. But I just thought as a white Irish guy, who the fuck do you think you are if you're rapping? Even though there was, back in the day, there was guys doing it really well, you know, like Lethal Dialect or Scary Era, people like that. But I suppose it was when the wave came along, I think it was around 2017 when I started, maybe 2018 actually. That's when I literally picked up the microphone for the first time and started trying to write rap songs. And that was a big step. And I suppose it was just like, as a result of everything being... You know, the stigma was taken away from it a little bit because it was getting popular and people like Kojak and Jafaris and, you know, Kneecap and stuff were making it popular, you know. So it took away that kind of fear, I suppose. I was like, here, fuck it, I can do it, you know.
So you weren't that anxious? Like when you went to put out that first song, were you worried at all?
Yeah,
especially like from your background, I'm sure like people who enjoyed your music before, you know, they've kind of got, you get a preconception of what something's going to be. So if you're in a hardcore punk band, you're not thinking you're going to be releasing hip hop, you know, obviously.
That's true. Yeah. And it's funny because those were the first people that supported me the most. You know, I remember when my first two gigs that I ever played where I was really shitting myself were hardcore gigs in like punk venues, you know, and they were really attentive and just like sound about it. You know, I never got stick from anybody in the hardcore scene about the change, which is amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever really said anything to me. And I think a lot of the anxieties, that I had about starting this were just in my own head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, you get the odd fucking comment on YouTube and shit, but like that's just par for the course, you know?
Yeah. And when earlier on you said like you thought you were done with music, that's very genuine. Like you actually went on as far as studying law.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Like, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I went down, I suppose what happened was I was living with, do you know the band The Scratch? You know the band?
I think I know the name.
Yeah, they're like, so they were originally a band called Red Enemy. They were a metal band and I was living with a lot of those boys. They became a band called The Scratch who are fucking really good. I'd recommend anybody check them out. But I was living in a gaff with them. We were doing fuck all, waiting to go on tour twice a year, you know, for a month, sitting around on the dole, smoking weed, you know, doing all that stuff that early 20s, mid 20s do, you know, sessioning the bollocks out of it. And I was like, here, what's the opposite of this? What can I do that's literally the opposite of this, you know? I felt like that much of a waster, like, you know. So I started a law degree. And I ended up actually kind of enjoying the challenge of it. And then I got a master's and then I got my solicitor's exams after that. And then I started working in a firm. And then one day I was kind of just like, this is not for me. You know, the whole wearing a suit, going into court and just kind of being that person. I just felt like, you know, everybody's out there playing music at festivals and having fun. And I'm here sweating in the summer in the forecourts and like not even getting paid that much. Like I make more now. Doing dog walk and fucking making music than I did back then. So I think that it was the right decision because I wasn't in love with it. So you need to be in love with what you're doing, as far as I'm concerned anyway.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that I could do a law degree, but it's almost something I could see myself trying to prove that, to prove it to other people. You know, like, and I'm not saying that's what you did it, but...
Spot on. Yeah, that's what I was doing, yeah.
Because you get kind of told unfairly that there's this preconception about musicians, and you know, you don't work that hard, you know, you're a bum, you're whatever, and like you almost get built, you want to prove people wrong. And so like I could see myself just throwing the head up and taking the same journey. And it's amazing. It's like when you prove you can do it and you can be that, you can be a lawyer and you can live that life, you're actually like, why the fuck am I catering to something I don't want to do? Yeah.
Because what happens when people do that is that it starts to manifest in other ways in their life. Like if you're a bet into something that you're not really, if you're down a career path that you're not really into, you know, that you're not really in love with, it starts to manifest in weird ways. Like for me, it was manifesting in drug use and depression and just acting out in general. And that was why I had to change, because I knew that 20 years down the line, if I was still some fucking lawyer, I wasn't going to be a good person. I wasn't going to be who I wanted to be, you know? And I think that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to like, just try something different, man. Like we have one shot on the planet. You know what I mean? What the fuck is the point in wasting it? Like on shit that you think that other people want you to do, you know? And that's,
We overlook it so much. You just got to keep reminding yourself of that. It can be really, really hard. It can be really hard.
Very difficult. Yeah, it's very hard because the outside pressures, you know, of other people and society, I feel they're always trying to put us in these boxes, you know. Mm-hmm. But like the only person that knows what you want is you. And at the end of the day, that's it.
Yep, you're bang on. You had mentioned it before about the Irish hip hop scene and how it's really come on leaps and bounds. And I've been speaking to a couple of artists and kind of spoke about like they felt that they weren't really taken seriously, and you know, like, and but now there's like a momentum and people, you know, understand the like people are appreciating the value of the hip hop scene in Ireland. What's that like? What's it? It must be great as a solo artist to kind of have these people that you can work with, because that's for me. I talk about it a lot. Like I miss being a solo artist. I miss the camaraderie of a band. So for you, you know, being able to collaborate with all these people, it must be like a nice thing to do, and it kind of makes it feel like more of a community.
Absolutely, yeah, and I have a band now, which is great. But it's my band, which, and it sounds selfish, but the problem with bands is that it's five different personalities that all want different things, and they all have an equal say in what way things are going. And when five people want five different things, shit starts to get fractured and people fall out with each other. But I've found that with my band, I've been able to cultivate a space where people can come and go as they please, you know what I mean? And there's no pressure. It's like, and if they don't fit in with what's going on, then it's easy to just be like, here, bro, you know, like this isn't, you know, our journeys are going different directions and all the best to you. Cause like, they're not so invested. They just have like probably five other projects they have going on anyway, you know? So it's been really easy to cultivate. Like we have like 10 people now in the band that are all just such nice people, and we have a laugh together. And finally I've come to a place with it where I'm like, oh, I'm proud of what we can do live. Cause as rap is kind of hard to pull off live. Like a lot of people just rely on the track and them, and that can be done really well. But for my type of music, it's a bit more low key, you know? So we like to have a bit more of a jazzier vibe to it and bring in a lot more people and a lot more singers and stuff, you know? So
I see on the album, Inner Space are involved. Are they a part of your live band?
Yeah, they are. Okay. Although I stopped using drums and I started just using like tracks with instruments over them, because for me, I just felt like it was easier as a vocalist to build around that rather than to build. Like, I know it's more authentic to build the music, and we did that for a long, long time. But it just felt easier to just build tracks and then have saxophone and keyboard and guitar on top of that, and then build a lot of vocals on top of that. Because I found that the dynamic was changing every time we did a gig, the song sounded different with a band. That's just the way it goes. And with hip hop, it has to be on the fucking money that, you know, unless you're jamming all the time, which I can't get people to do because the money's not there to do that, you know?
Yep.
So it's just easier to do tracks with instruments over. It makes it much tighter and funner for me.
Yeah. Because also your delivery wouldn't be super like aggressive. You've kind of got like a soulful laid back. So if the dynamic is lifting and you're having to accommodate that,
there's a melody to it that
I
was getting fucked up because it was changing every time. So I couldn't be given the best performance. And now I'm like, I'm confident that I can do that, which is a nice feeling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. A bit more control with that, I guess. Peter, what drives you?
Probably my car. I get in, it drives me to the shops or wherever I need to go. Therapy sessions.
I thought you said you took a carpeteer.
Well, I did today because I'm trying to be good for the environment, okay? Don't you know there's a bloody pandemic going on? Killing all the environment?
As I mentioned, you've released your debut album, All the Leaves Are Falling. I can see there's a lot of collaborators on that, but was the majority of the material recorded with one producer or?
Two main guys really. Adam Garrett, who was a part of Innerspace. I don't think Innerspace are a thing anymore, but they're all doing their own things. So Adam Garrett is a solo musician. He's really good friends with Yuli and stuff.
Yuli mentioned them, yeah.
Yeah, he just released an EP actually, which is brilliant. But he wrote pretty much every piece of music on that album. He wrote, and then we built around that. And Adam Shanahan is the other guy. He's like the in-house producer, the kind of the tech wizard guy that puts it all together, makes it all sound great, and makes it cohesive. And he's just a killer, like a vocal producer. He's really good as well. And me and him have built up just this real nice repertoire over the years of like, I don't know, just like a real nice rapport between us. Because when you're going to record vocals, you want to be comfortable around someone. We've just built that over a fucking 150 songs, basically, at this stage, where we've like, he has my style down and he knows what to step in and say, here, you could do that better, or that's perfect, or, you know, stuff like that, which is so important.
Yeah, you need to be comfortable with somebody.
That's everything.
Yeah. Actually, you mentioned there about the 150 songs. Tabby Rex, their episode was out, and they actually mentioned you about, and in relation to how you had written so many songs before actually deciding on the album, which just showed your investment in that you just didn't pick 10 songs and went, okay, that's me, there's an album. How long did those songs stretch back from?
I suppose from when I started, I think I started in 2018 or 2017, at the end of it, 2017 maybe, started writing songs, you know? So I was just banking them on my computer. And the first probably 20 of those were just shy at like learning the art, you know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. But there's songs on that made it on the album that might have been actually like the fifth song I ever wrote, you know? Like they just like sometimes. With some of the songs, I felt like this mad thing that, I mean, I'm sure you've felt it before when it feels like it doesn't even come through you. Like it just comes through you, but not from you. And there was definitely moments that I had like that on the album where, I don't know, man, just like hung over one morning on 4 hours sleep and you sit down and start playing a beat and a song falls out of you in 30 minutes and you're like, where the fuck did that come from? And you know, that made it as the title track in the album, and that was really early days, you know, that was the song All the Leaves Are Falling. So like that, I felt like that song was almost just waiting there to fucking come out, you know, waiting for that particular art form or for me to choose that direction to just like fall out of me, which I suppose is nice because that means there's maybe a magic to creativity that is overlooked a lot of the time, you know, which is fun.
I can't remember who it was, it might have been like Noel Gallagher or someone like that. I was talking about how sometimes when you write a song, you almost feel like it's just been, the song was always sitting there, and you just pluck it out, and it's like it's been waiting for you just to take it down. Exactly. You know, it's so natural and organic.
I love that idea. It's a really nice idea, like, because it just adds an extra dimension to music, right? That it's not this technical thing that you just sit down and carve out. There is a lot of that. There's a lot of sitting down and wading through shite, And we all have to do it. Like, there's days where I'm like, here, this, I'm the, I can't write a song. Like, I've lost it, you know? And then you might spend, then the next day you might write the best thing you've ever written. And I suppose that's the beauty of it, isn't it? And that's what he's getting at with that. It's like, yeah, it's like they're flying around and one day you just get to pluck a really good one.
Yeah, I love that. And like, listen to the album, man, it is brilliant. It's so, like, and I've said it before, before doing Liquid Chords, I probably didn't I wouldn't even listen that much to Irish music. And it's not like, not against Irish music, it's just you listen to the things you are on, like, you know. Yeah, yeah. And but just really, really enjoyed it. I mean, getting into the hip hop scene more within it, you know, within Ireland, and this album just really stands up, man. It's great, from start to finish. And like, the first, I just love like how it doesn't sound like you've been afraid to just be authentically yourself. Like, even the intro with the tubs of grease, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it just immediately, it's such a great intro. Would you mind just speaking about tubs of grease and just like that idea?
Yeah. I suppose, just back to the authenticity thing for a minute, because I think that, hang on, Adderby is trying to fucking fuck me up here. Anyway, it's gone. there's always an Adderby pop up anytime you do something. I don't know why. I think the authenticity for me comes with age, because I spent so long in different bands trying to be what I thought that other people wanted me to be, you know, from, say, a singer in a hardcore band, trying to be this hard fucking tattooed lad that was, you know, acting crazy on stage. And like, it was a big part of me. Also, my personality was in that too. But when I got to, like, I'm 36 now, I just turned 36 the other day. So
you're looking well.
Thanks, bro. You said that.
You appreciate these things when you get older, don't you?
You do. Yeah, you do. Definitely. Like, yeah, you don't care when you're in your 20s, but like, when you're in your 30s, you're like, appreciate that. But, I suppose I've just nothing to hide from anymore. I've nothing to hide from myself. I have a baby. I have many things going on in my life, and I've no reason to try to be something else. So I can be as soft on a song as I fucking want to be, or the opposite. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's probably one of the reasons that I'm having success with it, especially with rap. It's a young man's game, so a lot of people are putting out that front of just being this person that they're not. You see it every day. Lads talking about stabbing people. Lads talking about riding 50 birds a week. Like, they're not, like, nobody's doing that shit. They're not doing it. You know, there's maybe one.
Especially out of COVID.
Well, that wouldn't stop them, I'd say. But I just don't have any want or need to put up a front anymore. And I think that's where the tubs of grease come from. I was like, here, I'm just going to record a lot of stories from when I was young. And shit, that's not even this like big arc of a narrative, just little things that stood out to me that we can build around, you know. So I just sent 3 or 4 voice notes to my producer, and he picked out that one and the last one. He was like, here, these are really good. They shaped the narrative nicely. And they were authentic voice notes just from me to him. And that's why they work, because they're not acted out, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah. Just for people listening, like, the, I guess what I took from it was, you speaking about being a young person in the area that you're from, and how you got so used to this routine that you actually like didn't realize that there was more to the world, and you saw a tub of grease sitting at the back of a Chinese, and you went, "We're actually talking about tubs of grease." Like, this is where we're at. This is the most exciting thing we've had. And so, like, I can just relate to that, you know, just like going to the same place, walking around the same park, you know, going to the same carryout to get drink underage. And then you obviously went off, like, you went off and went to Vancouver and did all those things that you mentioned. So, yeah, brilliant. And the album itself is great. And some great musicians on there, like Molly Sterling's voice sounds brilliant with yours.
She's absolutely amazing. Like, she's just she's just a force. Like, you know, it's she has a vulnerability to her that is just, she's not afraid to show anything, and that comes across in her voice. But she also has like the technical ability of, like, she's one of the best singers in Ireland anyway, for sure. And
lovely, just such a unique voice, like, as well. It's like one of those ones that you stop, you know. It's not just like another voice on top of a song. You stop and go, okay, who is that person?
Exactly. Yeah. 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 You're forced to check her out almost straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. And like just on the album itself, I guess because these are a collection of songs over a three-year, four-year period, there's probably, would you say there's one overarching theme, or would you say it's a collection of songs that just have different ideas within each?
I suppose the one theme we aim for when we were picking the songs to put on the record, apart from picking the best ones, because like obviously that's what you want to do. But there's a couple of songs that never made it on that were probably technically better or a bit catchier than the ones that are on it. But I think the theme of loss was the one that we were trying to like put across the most as like as the narrative. It was like the idea that in our lives we go through so many periods of loss, whether it's the death of a loved one or the loss of a relationship or the loss of a friendship or emigration, the loss of a country, you know. And that was something that really stuck with me from childhood. I was always obsessed with, like, don't want to say death, but like just everything and how fucking I don't know, just how quickly things move on to something new, and you have to be ready to move on with it, or else you're kind of fucked, you know. And that really hit me when I came home from Canada back to Ireland, because not only was I leaving my friends there that I had built over a time, but I was also coming back to a place that I didn't recognize anymore, even though I was only gone for like over a year. Like it had changed so much that really struck me. So it was something that I wanted to like try to portray through a record. And I think we did a decent job, although I would say that album is just me learning how to do that, the art that I'm doing now. And the stuff that I've been doing in the last like 2 months, we'll say, is just like, not to be egotistical, try not to be like that, but like it's just like a level up, like a completely level up from that. So I'm really excited about where I'm going with it. And the day that I'm not, I'll just do something else.
Maybe go back to law.
Or start a country band or something.
Yeah. It's obviously disappointing that you can't tour this album, but do you have plans? Do you have anything lined up, or are you just kind of waiting and seeing if things change?
Yeah, like we've a few things. So I had four gigs in the Workmans that we were going to do socially distanced gigs back in fucking November at this stage, or even earlier. I think they might have been booked for September originally. Now they're booked for April. So like it's basically four sold out gigs that I haven't got to play yet, you know, that are just sitting there, and I'm dying to just play a gig at this stage, not to a camera.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that. But next week I'll be recording the Choice Prize like performances, which will be cool. So that'll be fun to meet up with everybody and do that again. I think it's next week or the week after. I think it might be the week after. And that's all that's planned for the moment, man. Just do as much stuff as possible. Like when things start opening back up, just literally, I'll play the fucking five people, play the bar staff, you know, as long as there's a few pints and a bit of music. Like, you know, after the year we've had, I don't give a fuck anymore, you know. The expectations are lowered.
Yeah, well, hopefully the dead rabbit's getting you through. I mentioned to you off air. You did Dry January, so.
Fucking delish.
Yeah, enjoying it?
Yeah, it's really good. It's very smooth.
Yeah. Oh man, it's good stuff. And just on the Choice Awards, is that like, how does that feel? Because when you're talking about like authenticity there, and you're just you feel like you're just being, you're not a tryhard, you know, you don't come across that way. How do awards feel? Like, how does it feel to get a nominated for an award? Like, what was your initial?
I suppose it's a hard question to answer, because there's a part of me that wants to not give a fuck about awards, and then there's another part of me that gives a massive fuck about it, you know? So it's the duality of being an artist is like, you know, if you really didn't give a fuck, you'd just keep your songs on your laptop and do it just for the fun, you know? But here we are putting them out into the world. So awards are important, you know, and that was one where I had it in my head. For some reason, it got in my head because I suppose it was the most realistic one. Like, I'm not going to win a Grammy. Do you know what I mean? So like, the choice is like a realistic one to put your sights on. And I was mad chuffed when I got nominated for it, because it's validation from people that are in the industry. They're saying, here, you wrote this album. We really like it. It's one of the 10 best albums of the year. And then you look at the other nominees and you're like, actually, that is a real compliment when you see the other people there, you know?
I think that's the thing I would take from it if I was in the position. It's when you see the other artists you're in line with, because I'm sure you can appreciate a lot of their music, and to know that that's the company people think that you're worthy of being with, you know, is...
Exactly. And therein lies the real compliment, is like, yeah, right, you're putting you with all these other artists that you admire, you know, and there could have been 50 other albums there that are almost just as good this year, or 20 maybe, you know, that are just as good, that could have been there as well, you know. So that's really nice. And then the other thing is to, like, we're talking about the loss and like the themes of the album there. And like, I think to make an album like that, it takes a life experience that you have to go through fucking pain to make certain songs, you know? And then it's almost like, all right, people actually connected with that pain. So it wasn't just this thing I went through for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, we're actually making something positive out of this pain. And that for me is the real meaning to it, you know, that people can connect with that.
Yeah. It's a lovely sentiment, man. To finish off, I would like to give you just five quick fire questions. Is that okay?
Absolutely, go for it.
Okay. And they're very catered to you, okay?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, okay. So as quick as you can, no hesitation, or you're out. You're disqualified from the podcast, all right?
Well, you have me shitting here.
Okay. Touring or recording?
Touring.
Hardcore punk or hip-hop?
Hip-hop.
Angel on My Shoulder or All the Leaves Are Falling?
All the Leaves Are Falling.
Kendrick Lamar or Mac Miller?
Kendrick.
Dublin or Vancouver?
Dublin.
Well done. You passed the test.
Did I stutter?
No, that was a new record. Thanks a million for doing this, man. It's been a pleasure having you.
No worries at all, man. It was really, really good fun. And thanks for having me on. And shout out to Dead Rabbit Whiskey and yous too as well for doing it. And I'll be listening to the podcast in future.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Hey, have a good one.
Peter, what makes you happy?
I'll probably say chips, fish and chips.
But you have a fish? This is interesting. You have a fish that you deeply care for, yet you will eat
I'll
fish.
I deeply care for him, but I tell you, I'll deeply fry him too.
With you, I'd take a plane right through the sky if it meant to spend the night with you. If that'd be alright with you, hey. And when I look into your eyes, I see the universe is lighting up, and that's enough to lighten my load. I follow all the darkest roads that steer home, but maybe this the only home I've ever known. And I don't wanna fight with you. I'd take a plane right through the sky if it meant to spend the night with you. If that'd be alright with you. And when I look into your eyes, I see universe is lighting up, and that's enough to lighten my load. I follow all the darkest roads that steer home. Maybe this the only home I've ever known. I was back in Berkeley in the bay when my Dre died. I know some days I'm hurting, but some days I see blue skies. But I paint my soul and my heart in this art. I'm starting to act like these things don't matter. I'm burning through dreams like shattered. The root of pain is attachment. I'm latched to your catchment area like phony politicians that build up promises without caring. It's scary how much we're sharing, like LimeWire, torrent pairing. I gave this city my all, and my all is all but lost its bearings. And I don't wanna fight with you. I'd take a plane right through the sky if it meant to spend the night with you. If that'd be alright with you, ay. And when I look into your eyes, I see the universe is lighting up, and that's enough to lighten my load. I follow all the darkest roads that steer home, but maybe this the only home I've ever known.
Yours is the only love I've ever known. Now I understand I should have showed you. Time passing and I'm getting old. I can feel this weight upon my shoulders. And it's you on my mind now that it's cold. And I know you'll be just fine now that I've told you.
Come back home now. Come back home now. Come back to me. Come back home now. Come back home now. Come back to me. Come back home now. Come back home now. Come back to me. Come back home now. Come back home now. And I don't wanna fight with you. I'd take a plane right through the sky if I meant to spend the night with you. If that'd be alright with you. Hey, when I look into your eyes, as the universe is lighting up, and that's enough to lighten my load. I follow all the darkest roads that stay home. Or maybe this the only home I've ever known. And I don't wanna fight with you. I'd take a plane right through the sky if it meant to spend the night with you. If that'd be alright with you. Hey, and when I look into your eyes, as the universe is lighting up, and that's enough to lighten my